Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, again, Phil, I think everybody's got to make their own individual decisions on that. They have to weigh their own situation. Each one of us is unique, and we all have different lives, situations, families. There's no two situations that are the same. Everybody will have to make their own decision on that. You know, I have no way of, like, crystal ball is kind of cloudy right now, so I have no idea what will happen along those lines. I think everybody in the league, every team in the league, every player, every coach, you know, everybody in the league is involved in that to some degree. So we'll just have to see how it turns out.
That was Bill Belichick from his media session over the weekend. This is hour number two of Dale and Keefe. No Dale today. Wiggy is here. And the New England Patriots had two more players opt out of the upcoming season. You look around the league, there are a number of teams, including you know, the Miami Dolphins in the division, who have zero players opting out. The next highest total, I believe, is three. The Dallas Cowboys have three players, handful of teams with two, a number of teams with one. The New England Patriots now have eight.
Lacoste, the tight end.
He's out. Mm-hmm. So the two newest ones are Matt Lacoste and Marquise Lee. I got to give credit to Fitzy, who had the, do we do tweet of the day, tweet of the weekend, whatever it was?
We do now.
We do now. It's a new segment. Its sponsor is pending, but it's on the way. Field Yates tweeted that Matt Lacoste is opting out of the 2021 season, and Fitzy quote tweeted and said, that makes 2 years in a row for him. Which was, that's a kill shot is what that is. This is a serious time, a serious matter. And Fitzy took that time to put Matt Lacoste in a body bag. But why eight players on the Patriots and not nearly as many on any other team?
Well, that'll be the mystery question that plagues us all.
It's a mystery answer. I mean, the question.
I don't really understand. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, it's just those eight guys had all, you know, family situations or how they felt. And I know that Devin was a little bit upset as far as, and I think with the deciding the date, and I know there was rumors that Bill had put a date on these guys.
Well, so that was the best theory that I had heard. And it might have been Curran last week with us when, you know, this was when I think there was only five guys at the time, but it was still, even then, far and away the most in the NFL. And it was Belichick maybe said, hey, guys, I know the league has a date, but this is kind of our date, if you could. Like, it's a serious matter, and we are with you guys 100% if you do opt out. But for the good of the team, maybe opt out by the 28th or whatever the day was that everybody started, you know, leaving.
Which I think is a good idea, right?
It makes sense. Yeah.
You've had plenty of time. You should know. I mean, don't you feel comfortable with the protocols that are put in place as far as return?
You are or you aren't at this point.
Yeah, you're returning back to the facility. So you should have. That's why I kind of disagree with Devin. I think this should be like a hard line date, and all guys should know by then. I mean, it's, you should know. You've had plenty of time to plan on whether or not you wanted to play based on your family situation.
So as of right now, Devin McCourty and his brother Jason are playing, but the league has moved the opt-out date a couple of days. And Devin,
do we know when the actual date is?
Is it the? It was supposed to be today, right? Wasn't it supposed to be the third? I think they've pushed it a few more days. We can look that up, what the exact date is. But the idea that they're moving it anyway, it's the 7th. Shime just held up seven fingers in the back room. You can hear it on microphone.
I was reading. I was just making sure.
He holds up his hand with five and a two.
We're actually moving Shime to a Patreon. So if you want to get Shime's voice, you have to pay.
Have you ended up into that puppy lifestyle? Have you looked into that at all?
I've been looking into it a little bit.
There's a lot of money to be made.
Is that for his OnlyFans?
Yeah, OnlyFans.
I heard you guys talking
about
that.
There's a ton of money in OnlyFans.
And I think he does have like a niche group.
I think he does.
That, you know, if you are hairy and, you know, a little bit big boned, I think there's a huge.
I fit right into that category.
There's probably a huge demo out
get
there.
A spike collar, a little leash.
Yeah, I think a lot of dog lovers love husky dogs.
Yeah, Shine, right I'm telling you, Now, I don't want you to leave this job, but you would. You'd be making so much money doing that
moonlighting.
Well, puppy stuff.
You could pull a deal. You could do both, right?
Just I can do both.
Do your only fans
at night.
I can
come in and just
night.
Have fun with you guys and, and then
I write
go
snuff
home.
Pieces for the Globe after here. Yeah. So
well, you could
done.
Do your only fans at night. Just roll on your back and then let
have somebody give you a scratch. Oh, you like a good scratch. Oh, yeah.
I do
like
a good scratch.
He likes a scratch.
Right behind the ear.
Yeah. I'm telling you, get a little dog bed. You'd be fine. But Devin McCourty was speaking to Patriots reporters and not thrilled with the moving of the opt-out date.
I think it's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period, mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked about how many guys have opted out. But it's the same thing when we sign a CBA. Sometimes some of those things that we think are good sometimes backfire. You know, we have rookies who are locked in long-term contracts and tagged. You guys don't think we would love to change that about the CBA, but we can't. That's the point of signing an agreement. So I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league has changed that date.
Well, you actually could have changed the franchise tag on the CBA right before you agreed to it, if that was one of the issues.
Yeah.
Right? You'd think you'd go to the table. But as far as the opt-out date, I disagree with him. But you should know, right? So if they laid out a date, if it's August 3rd, what's the from between August 3rd and if you said August 7th, what's the difference? Shouldn't you have known? Well,
but also, I don't really get his point. Like, I love his passion, and he's calling out the NFL. I got nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But he's like, oh, the league doesn't want to see more players opting out. Well, if you have a deadline date for it, then
make a decision before that.
Then,
date.
All right, let's say the deadline was today.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you'd get another flood of players. But guess what? Tomorrow, you wouldn't get any. The next day, you wouldn't get any. By extending the date to the 7th, don't we expect now to have a few more today, a few more tomorrow, a few more on the 6th, and a few more on the 7th?
Right.
So I don't really get what because all the headlines are like, oh, Devin McCourty calling out the league, and he's pissed about the opt-out date, and he thinks it looks bad. So now, full disclosure, I could be missing something. Like, I don't really know exactly what he means. We have a little bit, or John?
Well, so Mike Florio had reported that the NFL feels that some players who aren't going to make the team are using the option to get the six-figure stipend from the league. That's one of their concerns. And their other concern is that some agents, per Florio's source, are using the threat of an opt-out as leverage to get their clients new contracts.
Well,
use whatever you can use.
Remember I said that. Remember I said that day one that there would be guys who were bubble guys that might opt out to know, like, all right, I can get, at least I can guarantee myself.
You're definitely seeing
Lacoste?
That. You're definitely seeing that across the league. And listen, I know it's a very serious matter, and if these guys, they're saying I'm putting family first, great, and that's what they're choosing to do. I don't think anybody's going to fault them for it. But part of their distinction or their discussion with their family is also, I might not even make the team.
Right. And
so
I know they have to pay that money back next year. But even
if they don't play.
No, even if they.
Oh, I mean, if they play.
If they play. Even if they don't make the team, they still owe that money.
Yeah, so that's a weird one. But I look at the two guys that opted out for the Patriots over the weekend, Matt Lacoste and Marquise Lee. I don't think either one were going to make the team. I really don't. And they certainly weren't going to have an impact. If we were talking about on the field, they weren't going to have an impact. Matt Lacoste, and I wonder, too, with some of these guys starting to opt out now, just from the football standpoint, maybe Matt Lacoste didn't opt out a week ago because he was wondering, hey, are any of these other tight ends going to opt out?
Right.
Is Izzo opting out? Is Asiasi opting out? Is
none
Dalton
them,
Keenan?
None
no, all, these guys are all staying? Well, I'm out. Same with Marquise Lee. Like, it's not a shock to me that the two guys that took their time to make their decision are the only one at their position group that opted out.
Mm-hmm.
If all of a sudden Damir Bird and Nikhil Harry and Mohamed Sanu opted out, maybe Marquise Lee, maybe.
Yeah,
makes
we
a
don't
different,
know.
Maybe he makes a different choice.
That's why I think that, and that's why I kind of disagree with Devin, is the NFL should have a specific hotline date, so it gives these coaches the time that they need to maybe replace these guys that opt out. Bill needs this time to say, okay, now I have to maybe bring in a few more bodies, whatever it may be. And as a player, you think that you should have been prepared for this over the long period of time, especially watching the other sports and knowing, okay, we're probably not going to be in a bubble. How concerned am I? Do I talk to my wife if I'm married, my girlfriend? Do I have kids? You know, what's the situation? Do I have elder, you know, parents or grandparents that I'm around a lot? So you should have had an idea well before August 3rd, if that was the date, or August 1st, or whatever, you know, whatever the date was, to go, okay, I'm going to opt out, or I'm going to play, and I know the risk that comes with it.
I think I counted 44 players have opted out in total. Mm-hmm. And again, 8 of them were on the Patriots, which is, again, far and away the most. You know, you look in the division, the Buffalo Bills have 2, Starlo Tulele and EJ Gaines. Mm-hmm. Again, what
but
kind
the
of
Pats
impact
only
they have?
Had real one impact player that opted out, right?
So
maybe one, and then
Dolphins have nobody, by the way, and the Jets had 2. CJ Mosley, who's good, mm-hmm. and then an offensive lineman as well. So yeah, I think Hightower is probably still the best player. Maybe CJ Mosley.
Probably CJ Mosley.
CJ Mosley, probably the best player mm-hmm. in total to opt out. You haven't seen a single quarterback opt out, starter or backup, right? I don't think a single quarterback has opted out. There's no marquee names. There's no top 100 names.
No.
And again, these guys, I don't think anybody's faulting any of these guys for doing it, but when then you're saying, all right, what's the product going to look like on the field? What's the excitement going to be team by team by team? Mm-hmm. It's still there.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Me. It's still all the top guys. It's still everybody to get excited about.
I mean, it's just like in the NBA, right? There was a handful of guys that opted out. There's a handful of guys that opted out in the NHL. But there's no, you haven't seen that big name player opt out where you go, oh, okay, you haven't seen the Aaron Donald. You haven't seen the Khalil Mack, the Von Miller. Yeah, Hightower's a great player.
Right.
But you know, when you start to look and you go, based on what that does to your team, I think the Dante Hightower definitely affects your team. The Cannon and Chung could have some effect.
Starters,
but, right, but you could replace them with guys that might be able to do better because both of them had down years last year.
Yeah. Holden's a special teamer. Danny Vitale. I mean, you'd like a fullback. The offense usually looks pretty good with
Jakob
a fullback.
Johnson.
But you got Jakob's back. And then Najee Torn, I don't think, was going to make the team.
Right.
So you take it on a case by case. But it's still just, it's eye-catching when you see 8 Patriots and then, like, nobody elsewhere. It's
the only
weird.
Thing I can kind of relate that to is maybe where Belichick said, hey, I need to know if you're in or out by this specific date.
So on top of that, if you had to look right now, because there is still time for Patriots to opt out, the 5 most important Patriots. So a guy that would leave and you'd say, okay, this is serious.
Okay.
I don't know if Hightower would have been on that list to begin with, but I think it's pretty easy. Cam Newton, Stephon Gilmore,
Julian
Edelman.
Edelman.
So those 3 would be like jaws on the floor. Like, okay, this is going to be a different type of season. Who would the other guys be?
I would say maybe James White.
Okay.
Right. And
McCourty, do you look at Devin McCourty as a huge loss if he says, I'm not playing this year?
Absolutely.
Good player, right? And like a leader, all that stuff. And the fact that I think if you combined Hightower, Chung, and McCourty, just those are 3 veteran guys. You already lost Collins and Van Noy.
I think McCourty would probably be that 5th guy.
I think he'd be the 5th guy.
He's like the glue in the secondary. Like, of course, Gilmore's the best player in the secondary,
right?
But McCourty's kind of the cog that makes everything.
Yeah, he makes all the cogs. He's the quarterback of that secondary.
I think it'd be him.
The same way Hightower was the quarterback of your front 7. So yeah, I would say Devin would be that 5th player, right?
He seems like he's kind of flirting with it too, doesn't he? Like I wouldn't be shocked. I think it'd be a big loss, but I wouldn't be shocked.
I don't think he will though. He is he is a Belichick guy, like through and through.
So he's Hightower.
He's always not the same.
Hightower's a Belichick guy.
Hightower went and tested the market. Like Hightower was.
So did
McCourty.
McCourty did too.
So did Slater and Edelman visited the 49ers.
Yeah, they all did, but they're all Belichick guys.
Right. So
Shine, that idea stuck.
So
I don't know. I think Devin McCourty is dedicated to Bill Belichick in the Patriot way.
I would have said
whatever that entails.
I would have said Hightower and Chung were too, though.
But if you believe that, then you would think that Devin's not opting out, because if you believe the reports that
he doesn't.
I don't think he's opting out.
No, he thinks he's playing.
No, I know, but I believe he's playing too, because if you believe the reports that Belichick set a hard date for these guys, McCourty wouldn't go against that.
No,
right?
he would have opted out when Belichick asked him to.
Unless if he's maybe he feels like he wants to still being a player, like that message that he had yesterday is probably more impactful because he's still on the team.
Well, that message maybe then is for Bill Belichick, not the NFL.
I also think he wants to make a bigger message towards the black community and be able to represent that on the football field, because I think that's important to him.
I can see that.
And I think on top of all of that, I think both McCourty's recognize that if they sit out this year, there's a good shot they never play football again.
So that's ultimately why I think they both play, is because I think if they do, I thought they were going to retire 2 years ago. That's how wrong I was when they won the Super Bowl. I'm like, all right, that's probably a great storybook ending for both of them. But then they came back, and then they're coming back again. And Devin had a good year last year.
Right,
Jason was solid. So I think they kind of realized, they might have even said this on one of their podcasts, like, you know, if we walk away, that just might be it. And I would have to believe, a lot of guys that are probably like that, to be honest.
But that's why it goes back to my point. You'd have to believe that Devin would be clearly going against what Bill, you know, recommended. And do you believe Bill recommended to players, hey, I need to know a yes or no by this specific date?
I don't know if he made it so, like, it's then or you can never tell me.
No.
But it was sort of like, hey, guys, could you do this?
Right.
He's like, he recommended it. And
doesn't it seem like the players are basically taking that? Basically,
well, most of them did. Most of them opted out pretty early.
Right. So if there are reports Bill didn't gave, then that's why I think that the players that haven't opted out are not going to opt out.
So right? I thought that too. And then all of a sudden, Lacoste and Lee over the weekend.
So crazy theory here.
Oh, here we go. Lay it on us.
So what is the chance? And we know Belichick likes to push the boundaries a little bit. What is the chance he's telling bubble players to opt out, because then the contract rolls over to next year anyways, and so he retains that player and he doesn't have to worry about them getting scooped up off the practice squad by another team?
What do you think, Wick?
So they don't opt out.
Explain it to me like I'm five.
So they don't opt out, they get cut, and then somebody else signs them.
Yeah, or they get pushed to the practice squad and somebody else scoops them out. Exactly. Whereas this way, Belichick pushes them out. He says, hey, Lacoste, take the year off.
If you wanted Matt Lacoste next year, you could get Matt Lacoste
next year. He doesn't know how his new tight ends are going to fare. And so if they
stink, he knows how that one fared. He knows exactly how that one fared last year.
At least he knows the playbook. It's like getting Brian Hoyer. At least he knows the playbook.
No, Marquise Lee was available, right, for everybody. They just signed him.
Also not at any of the pictures of the workouts with Cam Newton and Julian Edelman, Marquise Lee.
Oh, so he's never in any of those wideout ones?
No, so
we should have been able to predict this.
And he was the only one not there.
You think anybody else opts out?
I don't think so.
I mean, I was wrong about these two guys, so maybe not. But again, I think everybody's looking at their positions, too, and being like, all right, am I going to play? Or first of all, am I going to make the team?
Well,
and then am I going to play? How much money am I making on the contract?
Well,
how much money am I making if I opt out?
Right. If you're Lacoste, right, or some of these bubble players, I would be scared to opt out, because now once you basically giving up a year to play.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of time.
There's not a guarantee that, because now next year the teams are going to go, we'll just go with the guys we already had from last year.
Right.
So you got a guy like Lacoste, who's a bubble player, some of these other bubble players. You opt out, you might never get back in the league.
So if 2001, Jermaine Wiggins.
I'm playing.
You're playing.
I'm playing.
You're not opting out.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't one of those guys that I was fighting every single year.
Oh, there's
the
no
team.
Guarantee you were playing the next year. Hey, I'll be here if I win a job.
Opportunity. Yeah, yeah. Oh, guess what? You want three or four? I'm at home. If I was playing today, mm-hmm. I'd be at home praying every night. Guys in my position.
Hey, Ron Rutledge, you opt out?
Yeah.
Who's that other guy? Who's the other tight end on that 0-1 team?
I think it was Chris Eitzman.
One of the all-time households.
Jabari Holloway they drafted.
Oh, they drafted him. Was that no one they did? They drafted and didn't make the team?
Him and Arthur Love. But I would be looking for guys to opt out all the time. Right? Because that's
man, you guys see the Marlins? Man, right. Marlins isn't looking good.
He sees Matt Lacoste opt out and he's clapping out his couch. Yes.
It's like I'm sending text messages. Yeah. Hey, my buddy just came down with Corona.
Sick as a dog.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't look good. You might want
to think about
it. You might want to think about that this season.
Like, are you going to opt out? No, I'm not. But
if I get the Rona.
No, I'm thinking about it. But I'm only going to do it if you guys do it.
Does the baseball, what's going on in baseball, impact how you feel the chances of football succeeding are? Because now all of a sudden there was like talk about like, oh, should they have gone to like a bubble city? And you're like, oh,
well,
I don't think that was going to work.
See, this issue that I had, and it comes down to the testing, and that's why I don't know if it's got to be hotter in Major League Baseball to get those test results back every day. Where I think in football, because you only play once a week, it will be a lot easier to have a handle on test results.
Right. If you test the NFL players every other day, like, okay, you get your results on Saturday or whatever, and like, here we go. Like, you play on Sunday. Now, if on Monday somebody tests positive, all right, now you got to kind of go back, retrace your steps, see like who was where, who was test positive, all that other stuff. But it seems like they could pull it off as long as everybody does the right thing. Well, but that's been a question we've had this entire time.
Right. It's going to be whether or not players decide to do the right things. And when we look at, and I think what baseball is going to do for the NFL, what it's going to show is when you do the right thing, this is how it affects you. Like the Cardinals situation, right?
Yeah.
We know a couple of those, couple players tested positive, but how or why?
Right. What? Where were you guys?
Yeah, like the Marlins, we know, right? They broke protocol.
Seems like they did, yeah.
So now we'd have to ask with the, because the Phillies had what? Zero cases?
Yeah, Phillies didn't have anybody, right? But then a clubhouse guy tested positive or something like that. It wasn't a player, though.
No, but they had zero players after they faced the Marlins.
Yes. Yes.
And they, so
that's good news.
That's good news.
That means I feel like maybe you can continue, but how many teams, again, like yesterday, all these games are postponed. When are you going to make them all up? What if it pops up again that three or four teams all get a bunch of cases, say, in 2 weeks? That's now three or four games. Mm-hmm. That could be as many as eight teams are now impacted. Four stadiums are impacted. Just the, I don't know.
The problem is they're postponing games based off of one person or two people testing positive.
Well, you brought up the point. I think you have all these minor leaguers ready to go, and you have a 30-man roster. You expanded the rosters. Wasn't that why you did it?
Because the Cardinals postponed their game, and they had, what, one player test positive that we know about?
They had one player and, like, two staffers or three staffers. Whatever that means.
Right, so where are the other 24, 23 guys, however many numbers, why can't they play? And why can't you just replace that one player or two players with...
Well, does it get into now all those players had contact with that?
Then that goes goes back to the problem with the testing. The test results in Major League Baseball are just too slow. And there's too many games throughout the week for you... To really, because when you think about testing in Major League Baseball, doesn't it give you like a popsicle headache trying to figure out when are they testing guys on this day? Are they not? And it's like, when are the results? But then it's a couple days later because they play almost every night. Mm-hmm. And it's confusing that you see, okay, one guy tests positive. All right, we got to postpone this because maybe the other 23 guys, we don't have their results yet.
Right. Jeff Passan tweeted yesterday, the latest round of coronavirus tests from the St. Louis Cardinals are, in the words of someone with the team, quote, not good. There are expected to be multiple new positives. Cardinals took more tests this morning, and results of those should arrive by tonight. He says there was a number of inconclusive results among the Cardinals yesterday. Because I think what they saw, too, was the Marlins knew they had four tests. Going back to when this first outbreak with the Marlins, they had four. Mm-hmm. They decided to still play. And then the next day, it was up to like 17. So that's what that's probably why they're freaking out the way that they are. So let's say you only have two. Well, is two going to be eight really soon, or is it going to stay at two? And I guess.
But if you remove those two players, then why can't the other players play? Right. So in the Marlins situation,
well, I guess you're worried that they're all going to get it, or they have it. They just haven't tested positive for it yet.
Originally, in the Marlins situation, the four guys, did those four guys play?
No, I don't think so. But everybody else did. And those guys had it, but they didn't know it yet.
See, it's just... baseball...
Baseball's in trouble. I mean, they're in trouble.
It seems difficult because they play damn near every day.
They do,
It just seems like they don't have enough time.
But then it's like, if that ballpark is now tainted, now another team that has no positive test is supposed to arrive. Like, no, you guys stay there. And now you actually are going to play four home games instead of two road games and two home games. And
they're just
jumbling the schedule around in the first week.
Here's what they should have did in baseball. It just came to me.
All right, perfect.
Just dawned
good.
On me good, what good, they should have did in baseball. They should have played how many series? How many games do they have between the Yankees?
Red Sox and Yankees? I don't know. Nine?
It's like 9 or 10 games?
Probably, yeah.
They should have just said, we're going to play our 9 or 10 games against the Yankees.
In a row?
That's it. Then we'll move on to the next series. We'll have a couple days where we test.
I like it.
And then we move on to the next series. Let's say it's the Tampa Bay Rays, and it's another 8 or 9 games.
So just
against
10 them. Straight against the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And so you test them, and now the Yankees are there. They don't have to go any to another park, to another location, to another. They don't mind me. If worst case scenario, you go from Boston to New York, New York back to Boston, that kind of thing.
What if you just nominate one guy from every team, home run derby, crown a champion?
Well, they see
you in on that?
No.
Or Red Sox are probably going to lose that.
Find a guy who can run around the bases the fastest.
Right. See, the problem with
home to home.
The problem with that is, like, you don't know who's serving up home run derby.
You bring your own guy. I know it's a risk, but now you have two guys involved.
You could just have everybody BP? Race that the Iceman that runs.
Oh, nobody's beating the Iceman.
Wait a second.
From the Brewers game?
Why are we
nobody's beating him.
Why are we joking about a real...
Your idea was to play a team 10 straight games?
Yes, this is a real idea that...
So is my idea. Home run derby or race. Relay race.
But okay. Those aren't going to work.
Can't we all just bet on the sausages as they race?
Yeah.
My 10...
Presidents?
I like that. Remember Wendell Simon hit one with a bat? He almost got charged with assault.
Go, Teddy Roosevelt.
I don't like
he clocked one of the wieners running by.
And Teddy Roosevelt always said, carry a big stick.
I don't like how
he always said that.
I threw out a great idea.
Classic line.
And now it's being completely joked on.
No,
I thought that this
was... 10-game series.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
It's perfect. Am I
the only... a little late. You should have told Major League Baseball this weeks ago. They could have used this.
Is it not a perfect
he's
idea?
He's not getting laughed at.
I feel like I'm getting laughed at because you're bringing up home run derby and sausage, the sausage guy running around.
Well, it's like four different. It's a bratwurst, it's a hot dog, it's a sausage, and then it's like a wiener schnitzel. And they just sprint the outfield. All right. Tommy Curran wrote an article about Cam Newton. Will Cam Newton embrace the Patriots? Will New England embrace Cam Newton? We'll get to that. Your phone calls as well. It is Dale and Keefe. Wiggy is here, Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Dale and Keefe with Jermaine Wiggins.
Stand by.
On WEEI.
His older brother and myself were fishermen. I come home one afternoon. I caught a largemouth bass, probably about a 9-pounder. Cam is sitting on the sofa watching TV, thumb in his mouth. So I make Cam come downstairs and pick up the catfish with his sucking the thumb hand. He's screaming, kind of equivalent to what he was doing when we were taking him to the hospital. Didn't want to pick it up, but I admonished him if he dropped that fish, he was going to get the chastening of his lifetime.
Little parenting lesson there from Cecil Newton, Cam's father. That was part of the Cam Chronicles. It's Dale and Keefe. Wiggy is here. No Dale today.
Why didn't he wash his hands? Why didn't he just wash his hands and then go back to sucking his thumb?
Suck the thumb again.
Yeah, I didn't really get how the catfish holding it. With the suck in the thumb finger. Yeah.
Maybe switch fingers. Or thumbs, I mean.
So did the catfish, like, bite his thumb?
No, I believe the catfish has such a stink. It's a trash fish is what it
right.
is.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Sort of like the, it cleans, you know, the bottom of the.
Yeah.
A bottom feeder?
It's a bottom feeder, if you will. Not that kind of bottom
so
feeder.
That, so
bottom
the, feeder the smell of the catfish
I
on
guess
his thumb.
It, he got so much fish stink on his thumb that he was like. Because that's what they say, too, is like you can put, like, hot sauce on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can spray it with something.
A lot of people do like eating catfish, though, with hot sauce
people
on it.
Do, and then they lick their fingers afterwards.
Right.
So Cam, obviously not a big catfish fan, I guess. But that's all part of the Cam Chronicles. I think there's another episode we'll talk about later on in the week. But Tom Curran wrote an article, NBC Sports Boston, once again talking about Cam Newton, and why not? He says, will Cam Newton embrace Patriots, and will New England embrace him? And isn't kind of the short answer, Wiggy, is... As long as they're winning, it's a yes on both, right? Like, that's just such a big part of it. Now, if he comes in here and struggles, or if he comes in here and he's kind of, you know, butting heads because the team's not looking very good, well, then the answer is probably no on both. You know, I think Patriots fans would be happy to embrace him, but we're also used to a winner. We're not going to embrace him at 6-10. Like, but if he's playing well, I think, of course, they'll be embraced here.
Yeah, but I think they'll work well together.
I do, too. I think they both kind of, in a weird way, I mean, obviously Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, but they still have a lot to prove, both of them.
Yeah, and Cam knows that this is it. He needs this opportunity to get back in it, right? To get back in it and make some good money and be a guy like, okay, Cam could be a franchise type quarterback. And so he needs this season to go well in every way. So why would you come in knowing that I'm going to try to be bumping heads with Bill Belichick?
No, and I also think that Belichick knows what he's getting with Cam Newton personality-wise, and he's okay with it. That was like everybody had the concern, like, oh, my God, he's doing that roundtable with Odell Beckham, or he's posting on Instagram all the time, or, you know, he says all this stuff. Yeah, I think Bill has gotten to the point where that's sort of the modern athlete. he kind of gets it. Mm-hmm. There now, there's a line. You can't go up on your press conference and say, oh, we're going to beat the Jets because the Jets suck.
Right.
You're not going to do that, but I think Cam understands that part of it. So he could still have a big personality as long as he's putting the work in and Bill feels like he is. I think they're going to get along great.
Yeah, I don't see any issues because and it's all going to go back to Cam knowing what this year means to him.
Yeah.
So I can't see him jeopardizing that for whether I know I heard Glenn talk about this before. Oh, he plays well, and then week four he's going to go, I'm only making $500,000.
Oh, I don't buy that.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Neither do I. I think he's going to say, you know what? Hey, maybe I'm upset with the money that I'm making. I'm not going to let that show because I don't want that to affect my earning for next year. Mm-hmm. Get through this year, continue to play well, put up great numbers, and now I'll be in a position next year where I'll be able to get that good payday.
I know it's a little apples to oranges, but one of my takeaways from the Cam Chronicles so far, the podcast all about Cam Newton, is the one time he really faced adversity originally was he gets booted out of Florida, and then he goes to Blinn. And any of these guys that go from the big-time D1 schools, SEC schools, to practicing on a farm next to cows, do that for a year. His dad told him it was a business trip. So at like 19, 20 years old, he knew, all right, I got to do everything the right way, focus on football and school and get out of there. Mm-hmm. Won a national title. Had a good time doing it, by the way.
Right.
Like, remember, like, all the coaches penalized him for celebrating. They didn't vote him as the MVP of the league, even though he clearly was. But then he goes to Auburn. Same kind of mindset. Wins a Heisman, wins a national title. Then he's the number one pick. And so since then, hasn't faced a ton of adversity until this year.
Right.
Where the Panthers are like, yeah, we're done. And we're gonna sign Teddy Bridgewater, who's not exactly like... Like, when Jameis Winston got replaced by Tom Brady, and he was like, ah, it's actually credit to me. Like, which was a crazy thing to say. But Winston got replaced by the greatest quarterback of all time. Cam Newton got replaced by a guy who's hurt more than he is.
Right.
So, like, that one had a sting, and then nobody wanted him across the league. So this is going to be the most motivated Cam Newton maybe of his entire life.
This is his revenge tour where he knows I'm going to go on. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to show everybody who passed on me huge mistake that they made. Not only that, I'm going to put myself back in the conversation next year as, hey, the best free agent quarterback on the market and put myself in a position where I'm going to be able to make some good money.
In his early 30s, if he can prove that he's healthy and is good, he's got one more big paycheck coming. I mean,
team passed on me.
You think about these guys, they're now playing at a high level at 37, 38 years old. So he knows. And I think what this year is going to hopefully do for him is it will not change his game, but add to his game. And maybe because his biggest problem has been being such an inaccurate passer. So maybe he learns the game a little bit better and says, OK, I'm going to use my ability to run when I need to, but I'm going to make better decisions.
Right. Now, I think, you know, going back to the idea of him being upset with his contract, I think on a one-year deal, he won't be because he knows by the end of it, if he plays well, then he will cash in. Also, if he plays, he's not making $1 million. Like, everybody's sitting like, oh, $1 million. Well, no, he's going to make like $7.5 million and a little bit more if they, you know, go really far. But the really attainable salary bonuses are all right. It's all games played.
Right. It's all percentage of plays.
Now, don't get me wrong. $7.5 million is still nothing for a good starting quarterback in the NFL. And if he does, and let's say he does get halfway through the season and wants the Patriots to give him an extension. I don't think that's going to be the case. But if he does and they don't, well, then maybe it's harder to re-sign him.
Yeah.
But he still needs to go out and play well, because if he falls off a cliff halfway through the season because he's pouting about his money, well, then he won't get the money on the other end.
But
he knows that.
There'll be no pouting, because if you listen to the Cam Chronicles, you understand that, and that was when you're talking about some of those situations that he was making 10 years ago.
Right.
He understands the position that he's in. For an athlete to know, okay, here's where I am. I am basically, if I don't outperform Jared Stidham and win this starting quarterback job, don't you think the rest of the league looks at me and goes, yeah, this guy's a backup at best.
Oh, right? Yeah, if he can't beat out Stidham.
Right? And we're only going to bring him in as a backup if he's willing to, you know, take $1 million. And do you want, if you're Cam Newton, do you want to be a backup who just, for your next 4, 5, 6 years, you're basically a journeyman backup similar to a Brian Hoyer, making $1 million here,
a million
there? No,
if it was just about money for Newton, he doesn't sign yet. He waits for somebody to get hurt. Right. Like the year that Jay Cutler came out of retirement. And how much did he make that year? It was like at least $10 million. It was $10 million because Tannehill got hurt. And then so Cutler came in. Now, without preseason games, there's less of a chance for a quarterback to get hurt. But even still, he and his agent probably could have said, somebody's going to get hurt. You know, they come back after all these months off. Somebody's going to blow out their ACL or pull their Achilles or something. And there'll be a job. And then you look at all the best available quarterbacks, and Cam Newton was the guy. So he could have waited. But he realized
that's very risky.
But this was the best opportunity for him.
Right. You look at this situation, your risk versus reward, right? Mm-hmm. And when you think of the risk of waiting is much greater than the reward that you're going to get. But when you look at signing with the Patriots and playing for short money, the reward is much greater than the sitting around and waiting for somebody to get hurt. Because now he knows I can go to a place, and I think his biggest thing from, you know, after he realized that the money's not going to be there like he thought it was, his biggest thing was, I need to get on a team that I can have a legitimate chance of competing, win the starting job, and prove to people that I am worth that $15, $20 million price tag that the rest of these quarterbacks are getting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the perfect relationship. I really do. I think with Belichick and with Cam Newton, the only question I have is, will it be more than 1 year? I mean, I think it's going to be more than one year.
Yeah. I've always said that if he performs well, I think Bill gives him a, you know, three-year extension, decent money, and now that gives Bill enough time to say, okay, I got to get my next guy.
Just another reason why they better have a football season. They just better. It's the most anticipated. There's more storylines for this upcoming season than I can think of in recent memory.
And that's even if the Patriots didn't sign Cam, just Brady not being
still,
here.
Right.
Brady not being here, what would the Patriots are going to look like without Brady?
I think that, Brady Gronk with the Bucs, Newton with the Patriots. Can Mahomes repeat, and is Lamar Jackson going to have another MVP type of season? Those are just four of like the greatest kind of storylines that the NFL has. So we can continue with that. Also, Wiggy has a crazy Kemba Walker take, which we'll revisit back in sometime in noon, right around high noon hot take, because that came out of nowhere, Wiggy. I wasn't really prepared for that.
I got great reasons for it.
You do.
I just don't throw high noon hot takes out with no reasonings to back it up.
No, I appreciate that. Also, Kendrick Perkins has his pick to come out of the Eastern Conference, and it may surprise you. So we'll get to all that. It is Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
Jermaine Wiggins is in every Monday with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
It's Dale and Keefe. Dale's off today. Jermaine Wiggins is here. Would we still call him friend of the show, Kendrick Perkins? Is that fair, or are we now sort of...
Definitely still friend of the show.
Still friend?
Why wouldn't you? Oh, because he hasn't been on.
So he used to be.
Well, he also doesn't answer text messages, but that's a separate story.
So I would say semi-regular.
Well, he's big
guest.
Time now.
That's the thing. That's big time. And he's left us
it's
in the dust.
It's never a good thing to get big time. Don't forget about the people.
Don't forget about the little guys. And he doesn't return John's texts or calls or emails or DMs or anything anymore.
Wow.
So he's on ESPN every day.
I wrote him a handwritten letter, too.
Still, maybe he hasn't gotten that yet.
Yeah, it's went by carrier pigeon.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten that yet. But Kendrick Perkins, you might have a feeling on which way he's leaning in the Eastern Conference. Because I think there's the clear-cut favorite in the Bucks, but then there's probably three, four other teams that you might be able to make an argument for. I thought I might know who Kendrick Perkins was picking, but turns out I was surprised.
Well, Granny, you said if Kemba Walker is healthy... If it was a fifth, we'll all be drunk. I have major concerns about Kemba Walker. Listen, he had a four-month layoff, and he's still not all the way healthy. So with that being said, when you look at the Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics, I think they cancel each other out at the guard and wing position. The Raptors have two bigs that can anchor a defense and protect the paint. Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol. Both of those guys are elite defenders. And by the way, I've never seen a team that is so happy to play defense. The Toronto Raptors are happy to play defense. You should see the joy on their face, the way that they take pride in playing defense. They don't even care about the offensive end. They say, okay, we can get a bucket. And they have depth. So I'm looking at this Raptor team, Greeny. I got them picked coming out of the East.
So Greeny picked the Celtics. And Perk ends up going with the defending champion Toronto Raptors, who
if it was a fifth, we'll all be drunk.
Hey, listen, man, pass me some of that if too, man, because I'm ready to get drunk when it comes to Kemba Walker.
It is concerning that Kemba Walker had 4 months off and is still
having issues that he's been dealing with since September.
So just think about how useless he would have been if they played the playoffs in April and May like they were supposed to.
Right, and now how do we know how he's really going to take once he goes from, you know, playing a few, you know, not playing all the minutes to now we're in the playoffs, Kemba. We need you every night, and you got to play a ton of minutes. So we don't know how he's going to react to that. That's why I feel the same way when it comes to the Kemba Walker situation. Where is his health? And then we got to talking about this, and this is where my high noon somewhere take came from. Is, you know what? Hey, maybe you trade Kemba Walker.
Stop.
What?
Stop. You're trading Kemba Walker.
First of all,
the trade deadline's passed. This is the team that you have. There's like a little bubble trade.
It's not a bubble trade.
Like, hey, you guys are right down the street. Just switch hotels. You'll take Kemba. We'll take you. Because who are you getting? You just had to do this whole thing because Kyrie Irving sabotaged himself and the team. So you were able, and everybody's like, wow, the cap space doesn't work. Cap space doesn't work. But Danny was able to use a phrase of yours, finagle the bagel, and get Kyrie Irving out and Kemba Walker in, still pay Kemba Walker a ton of money. This is the team that you have. So how are you getting rid of Kemba, and who are you bringing in?
Is this team a championship team?
It is championship.
Can they get to
contender?
No. I got them
going to the NBA Finals.
Okay.
How do you like that?
Wow.
I got them in the NBA Finals.
That means they're a championship team.
I know I'm a green teamer, but bruh.
Yeah.
Man, you've been smoking that green kush. Man, you've been smoking that Celtics.
I'm just excited that basketball's back. I think they're that good, and I think
Kemba's healthy.
Yeah,
how confident do you feel in Kemba? I'm going.
Brad
Stevens
told me his knee has never been healthy.
I'm pulling a deal when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, okay.
How confident do you feel about Kemba Walker's knee?
Like 69%.
Nice.
Nice.
LFG.
69%. That's not good.
Nice.
That's a D.
No, I know.
That's a D, man.
But Kemba's look good in these two games.
It's two games.
It's been a minutes restriction, yes, but that was the point. That was the plan.
Okay.
It's not like he played against... Now, I would be terrified, and I wouldn't pick them to win if he played against the Bucks, and then they're like, we're actually going to sit him out against Portland.
Okay.
Nope. He actually played a few more minutes, because that was the plan.
All right.
And he's looked better. And Stevens even said, whether this is a good sign or not, that he was going to not have a minutes restriction by the time they get to the playoffs. So they have six more of these seeding games. And if he plays 25 minutes in all those games, fine.
Well, and here's where my trade Kemba thing comes from. I'm concerned with his health, right? Because this is something that it seems like is still going to be bothering him next year. He signed a, what, four-year deal?
Yeah.
So you're already through year one and you're having issues.
Yeah, but not issues as bad as like Kyrie. Kemba's playing.
And if Hayward is producing what Kemba normally would produce, and then vice versa, isn't that like an even trade off?
No,
anyways?
I'll tell you.
Because here's what I've done. Oh, I've went back. You know, I have great studies that I do. I did my.
You do a tremendous amount of research, and if anybody suggests otherwise, they're wrong. Because you do a lot of research.
My scout.
Yes, I did my scouts for my fourth round quarterback, and the percentages of a fourth round quarterback being good, very low percentage.
Yeah. I feel like what you have coming my way is going to take a lot to unpack.
No, it's very simple.
No, but I feel like you have a whole thing. And I'm going to have a rebuttal.
Round draft pick.
Yeah, I'm going to have a rebuttal.
Okay.
So save it for high noon.
This one's hot.
For high noon. We'll get into Wiggy's outrageous Celtics take, and I will respond to it. Plus, we'll also get to the Bruins, who looked horrible. But it was bad ice. So
that's it. And they don't. Luckily, they never have to play there again.
Right. So we'll get to all of that when we come back. It is Dale and Keith with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.